Now, follow along in your copies of God's Word or in the Bible that's in there in the pew rack in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under men's feet. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. This ends the reading of his word, and may he bless it that we would be doers of his word. Well, last week, we heard Jesus explain how the world will respond to people who genuinely attempt to live like Christians, people who genuinely try to live out the Beatitudes in the first part of Matthew chapter 5. And Jesus says that if we truly live out these Beatitudes, he said you can expect opposition in a variety of different ways. He said that people will insult you, they will physically harm you, they will falsely accuse you of all kinds of evil. But as we said last week, it probably isn't going to happen every day. It's probably not going to happen everywhere we go. We live in a pretty peaceful culture ourselves. But when it comes, when it does happen, we should not be surprised by it. Jesus says trouble will come to those that seek to live like him. In fact, he taught them later that the world, if they hated him, they will hate his people too. And so we should not be surprised if we face that, though again, it may not be everywhere by everyone and every time we go out. We also heard how Jesus rewards his people who face such opposition. He says that we will have joy and gladness. We will have a great reward in heaven. In other words, the Holy Spirit will produce joy in our hearts, regardless of our circumstances. He will produce joy in our hearts, and we can be confident that we will be in heaven. And so in verses 10 to 12 last week, we saw how the world will respond to Christians who live out, who live their lives according to the Beatitudes. Today, we see how we are supposed to respond to a world that hates us. Later in chapter 5, Jesus will say, love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. And we'll eventually get to that in a few weeks. But this is the foundation for that teaching. This is Jesus laying the principles down, and later we're going to put them into practice and see how they apply. Later we'll learn how we are to love our enemy, how we are to pray for them. We'll learn more of the basics. But today we've got to go back to the foundation and understand the source of all that is good within us. The source of all that is good is Christ in us. If we don't have Christ in us, we won't be able to rejoice and be glad when people oppose us. If we don't have Christ in us, we won't have the confidence that we will be in heaven one day. But because of Christ in us, we can live out these Beatitudes and have such confidence. We can have an influence in this world. And that's the reason for the title of my message today, Social Influencers. We are to be influencers in this world. That's a title in recent years that certain people have been given who on social media have established a expertise or a credibility in a certain area of life so that companies will hire them and pay them great sums of money in order to use their credibility to engage with huge numbers of people that will follow them and possibly buy the product that they're endorsing. So they create content on social media that will reach thousands and sometimes millions of people because of their influence. Companies promote their products through them. And in a culture that is driven by popularity and prestige, a social influencer can have a dramatic impact for a company. Well, today I want us to recognize that because we have Christ in us, we will be hated by the world. But we have everything that the world needs in order to experience true peace and genuine satisfaction that lasts beyond this world into eternity. We can have an influence in this world. In fact, we are to have an influence in the world around us. We cannot allow ourselves to be discouraged when people disagree with us, when they insult us, even if they hate us. We can't allow that to discourage us and cause us to shrink away into our nice little holy huddles and be safe. We've got to engage with the world and be an influence in the world. And Jesus gives us two illustrations to explain how we can have an influence, an impact in our world. First, and you see it in your bulletin, a Christian influences their society by preserving righteousness as the salt of the earth. He uses this illustration of being salt as a means of preserving our culture. You know, I think in our day, salt generally is just looked at as a seasoning that we use on our food to provide more flavor. But in the days of Jesus, they had a much better understanding of the value of salt. The Romans believed, for example, that there's nothing as valuable as salt except maybe the sun. In fact, the old saying that a man is not worth his salt or man is worth his salt, many believe that that originated because some of the Roman soldiers would actually receive their pay in salt. It was that valuable to them. Those listening to Jesus may not have understood the fullness of what he meant by this, but they certainly would have understood that to be the salt of the earth was something that was highly valuable. Now, there are many uses of salt, and if you read sermons on this like I have this past week, or you listen to other pastors, and many pastors will go into all the variety of benefits of salt. And I think it's helpful, it's useful, but I think Jesus really had one primary reason for this analogy of salt. And that was its primary use in their day, and that of preservation. Although, again, there's many other useful purposes of salt, but Christians are to preserve our society and delay the restrain evil. Like salt and that preserving effect on meat, so also Christians have a preserving effect on the world. We are to delay the further rottening and moral decay that we see all around us. It's easy just to throw up our hands and give up on the world and say all kinds of horrible things about the world rather than engaging in the world to prevent it from further decay. When we get right with God and we begin to live out the Beatitudes, the society will notice and it will have an impact on the world around you. Another pastor put it this way: we who follow Jesus Christ are to be a moral disinfectant, stopping the spread of evil. But to do that, we must be connected to our community. We're not alone in that. And sometimes that's the other problems that Christians have when they feel like they're all by themselves being opposed and persecuted and made fun of and laughed at and mocked, and we're all by ourselves. How do we stand up to all that? You're not by yourself. You have brothers and sisters in Christ with you to encourage you, to build you up, to hold you accountable. That's part of why worship on Sunday is so important and why if you're not here, you're missed, because you are an encouragement to the others around you. You build one another up. When you feel weak that week and you come together, the fellowship of God's people strengthens you and encourages you to get back out into the world and continue to live out the Beatitudes. We need one another. But for salt to prevent decay, it had to be rubbed into the meat. And so also as Christians, we cannot do what so many have done in the past and certainly in the present. We cannot isolate ourselves from the world. Salt that just sits in the shaker on the table is useless. It's got to be sprinkled onto the meat. It's got to be rubbed into the meat in order for it to truly preserve that meat. If the salt is merely kept in the cupboard, it's useless. And a Christian who merely stays in the cupboard of Christianity in the safety and the protection of the church is useless in the world. If we're serious about obeying the commands of Christ, we need to be openly sharing the gospel with those in our neighborhood. That's the world in which we have been placed in. We need to be serious about demonstrating mercy to those around us, showing the love of Christ by our actions. I was sharing with somebody this week. The week is kind of a blur. I don't remember who it was or what day it was even. I was sharing it, but preaching through the Beatitudes has been so difficult personally for me. They're easy to understand for the most part, but oftentimes when I preach, it's like the Holy Spirit says, oh yeah, what about you? Are you doing this? And I was having at our backyard neighbors, our backyards meet, I was having a conflict with one of them. He was truly acting like the world. And I was so frustrated. There were so many things I was plotting in my mind how I could respond back to him. And guess what I was preaching that week? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. I literally sat in my office and started laughing when I realized, well, you fool, you are preaching about showing mercy to others, and you're acting like the world. We must be willing to engage with the world if we're going to be salt in the world. Now, again, it doesn't necessarily mean that we've got to get down in the mud and get muddy ourselves. But we bring the light of the gospel, the benefits of the gospel, the righteousness of Christ into a fallen world. When we get right with God and really true to begin to live out the Beatitudes, our neighborhoods and our workplaces cannot help but be influenced. What difference are we making? When you think about it now in your own life and your neighbors that live around you and your coworkers that are there in your office all the time with you or the other parents in your schools as you get back into going to school soon, think about what difference is your life making? Are you having an influence? Are we in danger of losing our saltiness, of losing our ability to influence those around us? For just a moment, and let me flip this around, and I'd run the risk of offending one or two of you with a simple observation. Who is influencing whom? I think I got the who and the whom in the right place. Who is influencing whom? Are you being the influencer, or is the world influencing you? Over the last 3 years or so, I started seeing a trend in myself that needed swift attention. Everything seems to be now gauged by COVID, when this happened, and now things that post-COVID and pre-COVID and et cetera. And I think it is related to myself. I saw this trend in myself that I realized that I was starting to get a lot more jaded, a lot more frustrated with our culture, with our government, with other churches, with other people, et cetera, et cetera. I started having an attitude of, what right do they have to tell me how to live? Now, before I go any further, let me pause and say, what I'm about to tell you, what I did, I'm not saying that you need to do. This is what I need to do to take swift action with my own heart. You may need to take completely different tactics to bring yourself back into what the scriptures teach. But for me, I decided I need to completely cut myself off from anything political, from my social media. In my TV viewing, I don't watch the evening news anymore. If friends send me videos that if they look political, I don't even watch them. I delete them. I ignore them. You can just stop sending them to me because they're not being watched. I decided for my spiritual well-being, for the health of my heart, I just have to stop and just cut myself off from all of that. It's practically useless. And so my social media posts took a little bit of a turn as well. I decided that all I'm going to post, I may from time to time not do this, but from my intention is that it's only going to be pictures of my family, my church, the scriptures, maybe a few sports things here or there, but I'm avoiding anything else of that nature for the sake of my own heart, because I could tell in my own heart I was becoming so jaded and so frustrated with people. Rather than being an influencer, I was changing my whole attitude toward the people that are in our culture. We are the salt of the earth. We have to be committed to preventing its decay. But we also have to be vigilant in protecting our own heart. Yes, we got to get down in the mud and be a part of our culture. But you got to be vigilant in protecting your heart before you dive into it. Which leads to the second way in which Jesus illustrates our influence. Secondly, a Christian influences their society by revealing righteousness as the light of the world. And he uses a couple different ways that how light has an impact. The city on the hill, the light in a dark house, lighting a candle, you don't cover it up, you don't hide the light, but it shines brightly. We are called to make an impact in this world. How do we do that? Well, first we need to remember how dark the world is. We have to recognize that this darkness is a spiritual darkness that dominates the world system. And it is terrible, but the real horror of it is that people love it. They love the darkness. That's what makes Jesus' announcement, I think, so incredible. You are the light of the world. In the original Greek, we miss this in our English translations, but if we were to translate that literally, it really says, there's an emphasis here, it says, you alone are the light of the world. The emphasis is on you. You alone are the light of the world. Now, John, in John's gospel, Jesus makes an incredible teaching and proclamation there at the temple, and he says, I am the light of the world. So it's not us in ourselves, but it's Christ in us that enables us to shine with the light. We are, as a lot of other people have compared it to, we're like the moon. We don't have light in and of ourselves, but we are a reflection of the brightness of Christ. People see Christ. That we are Him in the world, lighting the world through His word, His righteousness. It should be obvious that Jesus is saying that we need to make the light visible. We don't cover it up. We're like a city on a hill that can't be hidden. And so when you have the light, you don't try to disguise it and cover it. No, Jesus says in verse 16 here, let your light shine before others. Let them see it. Let it shine so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. The light is to reveal the beatitude lifestyle so that others will see Jesus. Not so they can praise you, right? That's not what he says. Not so that you can have a greater promotion at your work. Not so that you can have a greater following on social media. Not so you can have this and that for yourself. No, he says that the goal is to give glory to your Father. That they would see you and glorify him. That's where the light comes from. If it's about you, oh, it's easy to receive praise for yourself and the kindness that you can show. But our goal is to shine like Christ, to demonstrate Christ so that people will see him and give glory to him. Do you remember what Jesus said about why you would be persecuted? Verses 10 through 12, I mentioned earlier. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And again, he said, blessed are you when others revile you or insult you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. We will be insulted and hated because we look like Jesus. Because we are living the way he expects us to live. We're living out the Beatitudes. Regardless of how the world treats us, we must let the light shine, so that as many as possible will refuse to hate us, or if they do, they will have no reason to hate us because it's Christ in us that is shining. Now, there are some who claim that our religion is a private thing, something that I believe, but it's a private thing. And that's a common attitude, meaning that it just should be kept to yourself, not openly shared. It's good for missionaries to do it. It's good for you, pastor, you do it. But for me, religion is a private thing. If I tell people what I think, it may offend them. It may divide our family. It may cause all kinds of unnecessary trouble. Well, that's not living the Beatitude life. That's not demonstrating mercy. That's not hungering and thirsting for righteousness. That's not being weeping over your sin and humbling yourself and being meek. That's being self-righteous. I'm going to point them the right way, my way. Oh, it may cause an offense. But if we're meek, if we show mercy, if we hunger and thirst truly for righteousness, they may still hate us, but it's really Christ in us. We're to live it out. It'll be openly shared, openly lived. Jesus said that we are to let our light shine before men. In other words, there must be an intentionality to letting our light shine. We must determine to be deliberately evangelistic through good deeds, acts of kindness, demonstrations of mercy. So again, is the light of Christ shining through us? Just as I asked about salt, are we allowing his light to be made visible by our life? I shared this story many years ago. I heard on I don't know who the pastor was on the radio. I caught it mid-stream and turned it off before it ended. I got to my destination, but in the midst of this, I heard him tell a story about an example of a man that went to a crusade. It was back in the days of Billy Graham. I was out on the West Coast. He went to a crusade. He heard the gospel. He accepted Christ. He believed that Christ is Lord and Savior. And one of the first things they tell you to do, or used to tell you to do, is now you go and tell somebody else what has happened and how you've been changed. So he decided, I'm going back to my boss, and I'm going to share with my boss, a man that he respected, that he liked, that he wanted to be like. And he went back, and he had worked for him, I forget how many years, but for a long time. And his boss was excited when he told him. He said, I've been praying for you for a long time. So I'm a Christian too. And the man said, what? You're a Christian? He said, I've been wanting to be like you because I didn't think you were a Christian. I thought you were a good guy that didn't need the church, and you're just a really good guy. It's not enough merely to do good things. The gospel has to be told. It has to be spoken. The message has to be declared. That's part of being a light, is not only letting your righteousness be seen, but proclaiming Christ. That's how he gets the glory. Otherwise, it's about you as a good person. Proclaim Christ. Have we stopped being salty? Are we hiding the light? Jesus said that we are the salt and light. So our lives ought to be making a difference. We ought to be surrendered to Christ and living for him in obedience to him. And by doing so, our life will make a difference.